It's in order of prayer. Open it up. No pressure. Just everything that happens after this that is bad is all on your prayer. Go. You said in Jesus' name at the end, so like it has to be good now, right? It's like abracadabra. Jesus is going to do it every time. All right, Matthew chapter 13, if you got your Bible with you or your app or whatever it is you want to do. So I'm going to throw this term out to you, parable of the sower. Now, two things usually happen when you say something like parable of the sower. People that don't really know what you're talking about immediately kind of get, that's one of those things I'm supposed to know, but I don't know it. So there's a little bit of something. So if you're one of those people and you say, man, I don't know nothing about sewing. I don't know nothing about alterations. I don't know anything about, like, you know, crochet. You're okay, because that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. The other group of people are people that know that, and they're like, dude, parable of the sower, what is this, like VBS 92? Like the Dark Ages called, they want their theology back. Like, can't we talk about something deeper? One of the things that I really enjoy about teaching is that when you teach something that nobody's ever heard before and you see that light bulb go off, that's a very rewarding feeling. The feeling I like even better is when you teach somebody something that thought they already knew something. So whichever group you find yourself in tonight, if I say parable of the sower and you don't really know anything that I'm talking about, don't let that be an intimidation. If I say parable of the sower and you know exactly what I'm talking about and the chapter where it's found and exactly what Jesus said and exactly what happened right after it, don't immediately say, I hope he's done by 7 or 8. Wait, I didn't set my clock back. I hope he's done by 8. Because I really think that tonight, if we'll just fully engage in this, that you will hear some things that maybe you haven't heard before. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, this is a parable of the sower. A parable is a way to tell a story. Jesus used parables very often because he liked to, and because he's Jesus and he can do whatever he wants to. So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1, says this: so the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth good fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And verse 10 says, and the disciples came unto him and said, why do you keep speaking to these people in parables? And we're going to jump down into verse 18, and it says this: hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. What Jesus is doing here is he's answering the disciples. He's saying, here's what I meant when I told you the story of the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the gospel, the message of Jesus, the good news, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. If you want to know what he's talking about when he's talking about wayside, think about walking down a garden path and you got all these nice little flowers and stuff over here, and then over here you've got the path that you're walking on. That word wayside right there actually means path. So it's getting trod by people's feet. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. So this guy hears the word, and he's like, yes, I agree with that. Yeah, I like that. Yet he has no root in himself, there is no depths, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution, or otherwise known as life, arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So Jesus tells this story about a man sowing seed and the different places that the seed falls and the end result of the seed falling in the different places. So tonight, let's do an exercise. How many constants are there in this story? How many common denominators take place in this story? What's the first common denominator in every single instance? Well, it's the seed. We know that the seed is the same seed because the Bible goes to, or Jesus goes into here, a measurement. Some of it didn't spring up at all. Some of it sprung up a little bit and it wasn't deep enough in the ground and the sun burnt it. Some of it sprung up this tall, but the thorns were higher. So we know that he's not talking about different seed, because if he's talking about, you know, over here on this rocky place, some rhododendron fell. Well, guess what? Rhododendrons like rocky places. That's why they grow up in the mountains where you trout fish at. Right? Mountain laurel. It's going to grow in some rocky soil. So we know he's talking about seed. So we know that seed in this story is a common denominator. So say this, the seed doesn't change. Can't change. Has to stay constant in this story or the story doesn't work. Does that make sense? It has to be the same seed. What's another common one? Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you read the story very closely and you actually look at the verbiage that Jesus uses when he tells the story, all of these soil types are found in the same field. Because it doesn't say a man went forth to sow one day and then the next day he got up and went across town to his other field. So we know that these soil types are all found in one field. Because he just, this is why I brought this, just so I could push it around. He's just going. Some of it's falling on rocky places, and some of it's falling on good soil, and some of it's going where there's going to be some thorns and stuff, but he's just sowing. So what's a constant denominator? The seed, the field, and there's one more. What is it? I gave it away. The sower. The sower doesn't change. It doesn't say, this guy went over here and this guy went over here. It doesn't say multiple sowers. It says a sower went out to sow. And some seed fell by the wayside. And some fell into stony soil. And some fell where there's thorns and thistles and the cares of the world. So in the story, those are all constants. What is the only thing in the story that changes? Where the seed fell, the soil type. The field's the same, the sower's the same, the seed's the same. The only thing that changes is the type of soil that is located at different parts in this field. What is the seed? Jesus tells us what the seed is. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. It's the gospel. It's the message of the kingdom. It's the thing that Jesus told His disciples when He got ready to ascend into heaven. He said, go you into all the world and preach the message of the kingdom that I have laid before you. In My name you shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. The kingdom of God is here. It is the message that Jesus preached on a day in and day out basis among His disciples. And within 64 years of His death, the gospel had spread through the known world. The known world at the time. We didn't have the new world. We just had the known world. the message of the resurrection and the good news of the kingdom, that is the seed that is being sown. We don't know where the field is, but we know it's a particular field. We also don't know who the sower is because it doesn't give this person a name. I can tell you who the sower's not. It's not God. So, if the soil in the field, if the field is a constant and the sower is a constant and the seed is a constant, then why is this story not called the parable of the soil? Because anybody knows when you tell a good story or when you're building something, you want to take the uncommon thing, right? But Jesus calls it the parable of the sower, and that's like calling it the parable of the seed or the parable of the field. It would sound so much better if it was the parable of the soil, because after all of the emphasis has always been on the soil. You've got to focus on the soil, right? That's where we always place all the emphasis. You know, brother, you don't want to be wayside soil. No, sir. Don't you let the cares of this world come in and choke out what God's trying to do in you, Nick White. Don't you let them thorns rise up against you. But Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. So this man goes into this field and he does this thing and he sows this seed, and some of it grows up and some of it gets choked out and some of it doesn't spring up at all. We have this mindset that, you know what we need to do? We need to change the seed. We need to change the seed. And well-meaning churches go about and they try to change the message of Jesus Christ to make it more palatable to people. You know, well, I tell you what, man, if the cares of the world are choking out everybody hearing the message of the kingdom, then what's the world got going on over there? Oh, that's what their music looks like. That's what their movies look like. That's what their culture looks like. Let's bring some of that over here. And then they'll start realizing, hey, we're not so different. We can be cool. We can jive with you guys. Come on over here. The problem is that never works. You can't change the seed. It's a constant. So you know what needs to happen? We got to change this field. You know, I've had my eye on this field across town. Because I tell you what's going on with that field across town. That field across town is exactly the kind of soil types that I need. It's fresh and it's loamy. You know what the word loamy means? No? It's fresh and it's loamy and it's well drained. It's got everything that I need in order to grow what I grow with my particular seed. The problem is changing the field doesn't work. So we're left with this kind of conundrum that we've got here of what do we do? So the only other aspect that we've got to look at is the sower. So if we can't change the field and we can't change the seed, what we need to do is we need to change the sower. Maybe that's why Jesus is calling it the parable of the sower, so that we can have a different sower. What's the seed? Right? What's the seed? Come on, man. Y'all are boring me. It's the gospel. The field's a constant, and all the sower's doing is sowing. Right? Changing the sower is not going to fix your problem. The only thing that's going to fix your problem is if we got rocks in the field, we need somebody to get down and move some rocks. And if there's weeds, we need somebody to cut down some weeds. You see what I'm saying? So what really needs to happen is if you really are betting the family farm on this particular harvest. Like, you're not doing this for fun. You've got to have this corn come in. We'll use corn because everybody can relate to that. We've got to have this corn come in, right? That is my family's sustainability. That's what's going to sustain us through the lean season. We've got to have this corn come in. You're going to take ownership in that field, and you're going to do your best to amend the soil. You know, this is when we moved to where we're at now, and when we started getting interested in this you know, agrarian lifestyle, everything that we had was overrun by neglect. So it has taken us years to begin to amend the soil on our land and to begin to add compost and add the correct nutrient levels and get the soil test done to figure out what we need in order to make our fields more hospitable to the livestock that we're trying to graze on those fields, so that we know that our meat tastes better than anybody else's meat in town, so that you'll come to Barefoot Farms Free Plug to come buy the meat from us. It's work, and it has to be done. There's weeds that have to be pulled. There's rocks that have to be moved. So let me go to my notes. So if the seed is the message, right, the message of the kingdom, that's the seed. And the sower is anybody. The reason I say the sower is not God is because the sower is, what's the seed? The seed is the message of the kingdom. Therefore, the sower is whoever brings the message of the kingdom. Whoever's broadcasting, because that's actually what that's called, is a broadcast spreader. When you're broadcasting that message of the kingdom, right, when you're broadcasting that message, you are throwing out the seed of God, the word of God, the word of the kingdom. So, for me, I can try to avoid this, and I can try to run from it, and I can try to hide it under a bushel, but an aspect of my calling is to teach. It just is what it is. An aspect of my calling is to teach. An aspect of my calling is to stand in front of people and talk about the Word of God and try to make it make sense. Because I spent my life growing up listening to people talk that I didn't understand what they were saying. The problem is, there was nothing wrong with the message. It was just being delivered in such a way that didn't make sense to me. And I understand that the way that I deliver the message doesn't make sense to a lot of people. But one of the things that I've learned is that I'm really not called to talk to everybody. You know, I've got this old rundown golf cart. And I say old. It's not old. It's only 3 years old. Because we bought it for Zyler for Christmas from old boy down there in Douglasville that builds these little Chinese pieces of crap. And so, but he convinced me that I needed this $1,200, you know, dune buggy looking thing for my kids for Christmas. I didn't have $1,200. So, like, I took money from places that I'm ashamed to say, you know, sold blood and all kinds of stuff. But I got this go-kart, and it ran for about a month and has given me trouble since. So I finally convinced my parents by telling my dad that I bet he could fix it to get it off my hands and get it down to his place so that it's not in my shop anyway. Now it's in his shop in the way. And I kind of forgot all about it because it's just down there and I'm not fooling with it because I don't really care. I don't know. You know, I can't get $1,200 back for it. It can't be fixed and nothing that I can fix anyway. My dad, who can usually fix things, can't fix it. So it's just sitting there. So, my mom had sent me this message the other day, and she said, you need to try to get rid of it. You know, no, she didn't say you need to try. This is mom's passive-aggressive. I bet we could sell that thing if we tried. She said, why don't you take some pictures of it and send me a description? She said, because I don't know anything about golf carts, and evidently I don't either because I bought a 1,200-piece of Chinese junk from some guy in Douglasville. If you know that guy or work for that guy, I'm sure the rest of his products are very well taken care of. I think this was just a lemon that I got. Not really. So in her passive-aggressive way, she wants me to take pictures of it. So they're both out of town, so I go down to their house this week because we've got some cows down there that I needed to feed. So I go down there, and I go into the shop where we keep the cattle feed, and I open the door, and I walk in, and I see my dad's got this, like, this really killer Jeep, like, awesome Jeep, like, I don't know what model, 77, 78, CJ5. Bad Jeep, like set up on 35 Super Swamper, just nice. And right beside it is this $1,200 Chinese piece of junk that is, you know, there. And so I'm looking there, and he's been trying to sell, he's not been trying to sell. He wants to sell his Jeep. Anybody looking for a Jeep? I know where you can get a good one. So he's thinking about getting rid of this Jeep. And so I'm looking at this Jeep, canary yellow, It just looks, well, I'm redneck, so I like it. But it just looks like something, you know, that most people would want to have. If you're not, you're weird. And then I look at this little go-kart, and I've got a Georgia tag on the front of it. I wish I had a picture of it. It's a pretty cool-looking little golf cart. It's got a roll cage on it. It's got KC lights on it, and, you know, because we're redneck. And it's got a little Georgia tag on it that's bent because my kids like to hit trees. Don't know why the golf cart doesn't run anymore, but they like to hit trees with it, so it's dented in. But I'm looking at the thing, and I'm like, you know, overall, that thing doesn't look that bad. I mean, it hasn't been rolled over, and, you know, the roll cage is not all bent up and stuff like that. The horn still works. So I'm looking at this thing, and I was like, all right, so how do you sell that? How do I take this golf cart, because I'm fixing to take a picture of it, and I'm trying to get it where the Jeep's just in the background a little bit, because I figure we'll do a two-for-one deal. Not only can you buy this, the Jeep's for sale too, and then, you know, we sell two birds with one stone, or two birds to one buyer. So I'm trying to get this picture lined up just right, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking that's probably the right angle right there. So I get the picture, and then I start thinking, okay, now how do I price a go-kart that doesn't run? I'm not giving it away. I'll set fire to it before I give it away. it's just the way it is. So what do I do? So I'm thinking about, in this thought, I'm looking at this go-kart, and I'm looking at this Jeep, and I'm looking at this golf cart, and I'm like, you know, the Jeep would probably sell itself. I mean, it just would, if the price was right. But the Jeep would probably sell itself. A go-kart that doesn't run, you know what? It might sell itself. If that price is right, that go-kart might sell itself. Because what we do when we try to sell things, anybody, is we try to figure out what we think it's worth. Then we decide what, on top of what it's worth, it's called profit, on top of what it's worth, we decide, so let's say it's worth X. We say, well, on top of X, I'm going to add Y. That's what I'm willing to let it go for. So X is what I say it's worth. Y is what I'm willing to let you have it for, right? That's X plus Y. So we try to make X plus Y apply to everybody. So when I'm trying to price this thing, I'm thinking, okay, what would Linda pay for this thing? Linda probably doesn't want a go-kart. So you've already, right? You've already kind of, your numbers are already off, Lisa. Lisa probably doesn't want Anthony having a go-kart that doesn't run, because that's just something else that Terry J is going to have to, like, walk by and look at and kick if he's like me, and probably not even, like, willing to lift a wrench to it. But see, the thing about selling something is that I don't have to sell it to everybody. I just need one person. All I need is one person that says, I can fix anything. Well, God, I guarantee you I can get it running. How much you want for it? $200? All right. It's that simple. So I'm saying this because I know that I'm a sower. And God has called me, just like He's called every single one of you, to sow seed. Because we are all, I don't care if you identify as transgender or not. Actually, you know, I don't care if you identify as transgender or not. There's something on the inside of all of us, because we're created, that wants to procreate. It's deep. But there's something on the inside of us that wants to procreate. It's the same with raccoons. It's the same with possums, right? Because we're all living creatures. And in order for the species to survive, there's something intrinsically deep within all of us that we want to breathe and we want to breed. Sorry, it's just what it is. Would most of you agree with that? Are you okay with that terminology? Like, where is he going with this? I really don't know. I just wanted to say breathe and breathe in the same sentence. You know, there's something intrinsically deep on the inside of us that we want to procreate. It's the same way in the kingdom. You can be a Christian, but there ought to be something on the inside of you that wants other people to be Christian too. If the message of Jesus Christ is really in the process of changing your life, you'd be a fool not to want to spread it a little bit. Right? So there's this need on the inside of every true believer to procreate, to create other believers. That's put there by God because in order for Christianity, in order for the message to be spread, there has to be spreaders. And we do this thing where we kind of let ourselves off the hook. Well, that's the pastor's job. Or that's the teacher's job, right? But it's not. It's all of our job to spread the message of the kingdom, to go out and to sow. So I just happen to be one of those people that my platform happens to be talking in front of people. If it was singing, then that would be my platform. In horticulture, what you grow something in, we call it a medium. So there is a soil medium, but there's also a water medium called hydroponics. Some of you guys are probably familiar with the term. Hydroponics. It's where you grow things in water as the medium, or you deliver nutrients to it in something other than a soil medium. So if I'm a sower, and I understand that part of my calling, or really the bulk of my calling, I think, I tried to not own up to this for a while, but I think the bulk of my, I can't help it, I just teach. I don't mean to. Most of the time I don't try, and probably don't do it very well. But again, all I need is one person. I don't need all y'all. I just need one person to say, hey, that dude, he's just retarded enough to make sense to me. That's whoever you are, fellow retard, you're the one I'm looking for. People get so I hate political correctness. It pisses me off. Alright, so there's this mindset that I have that if I'm a sower and the seed is the message of the kingdom, what's my field? What's my medium? For me, the medium is the vehicle. The actual soil itself is the heart that you're sowing into, but the field is the vehicle. So like right now, here let's do it this way. So right now, you guys, I'm the sower. I'm doing part of my calling is to do. I'm teaching. So I am spreading, broadcasting the message of the kingdom to you right now. This atmosphere in this room, this stage, and all the atmosphere of this room is my medium. And if I see a rock, I need to stop and pick it up. Does that make sense? There's a level of responsibility that comes with it. And if I see something not working, whose job is it to fix it? And who am I? And that's why Jesus called it the parable of the sower. Because all of the onus is on the sower. The seed's good seed. It's the kingdom. Nothing wrong with the field. It's got dirt in it. Dirt happens to be the medium that the seed wants to grow in. Nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with areas of the field that make up the soil. There's really nothing wrong with the sower, because that's what I was going to touch on earlier. A lot of times we think, well, we just need a different sower for this or a different sower for that. Really, the sower just sows. If there's a rock here and I push that by it, right? And it gets seed on that rock, it's not going to grow. If I get Jorge to do it for me, and he pushes past it, and the seed falls on the rock, it still ain't going to grow. It's the parable of the sower, because all of the onus is on the sower to make sure that every single issue, every single hindrance is removed. What you need to do is find your field. Because yours may not be standing up here with a microphone in your hand. It may be somewhere else. The job site, you know, whatever it is. For you guys right now, it could be this whole Osmos class thing that you're going through. There may be one person in that group that you're the only person that can really get through to that person, and God set up this divine connection, this divine moment, so that the message that you, because He knows you're the kind of person that's going to look and say, that's why that person's not been receiving the kingdom of God. Nobody's picked that rock up and moved it. And it's that easy. We had this, and to show you how difficult this is, and I'm wrapping this up, but to show you how difficult this is, I'm a part of the worship team up here on Sundays occasionally, and we've got like this rotating thing. So we had this meeting where we were all going to get on the same page. Everybody that plays, you know, everybody that's on, everybody that sings, everybody that's part of the praise and worship, and there was a couple of deacons that showed up. It was a party, free food, and so we were going to have this meeting because we were thinking of ways that we could enhance the experience for us and for anybody else. I mean, really, in essence, that's really what we were there to do. We thought we were there. Some people thought they were there to complain. Some people thought that they were there to, I think some people might have showed up thinking there was free food, and there was. But, you know, there was this mindset kind of permeating where some of us, I fell in the camp of, why are we meeting? Somebody in trouble? Is it me? I did. I'm the one, right? And I don't know, man. I don't know what the meeting's about either, you know. But when we got here and we realized what the meeting was about, it was so that all of us could stop playing for a minute. Because I don't know if any of you guys are musicians, but or if you've ever been in a band, but one of the most annoying things are drummers, because they won't stop drumming while everybody's trying to talk. The only thing worse are people that play bass or guitar or singers. Pretty much anybody on a stage, you know. So the whole meeting was to sit down and say, stop playing for a minute and let's talk. And so some people shared their testimony, and some people talked about how they got saved. Linda told a story about being like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or something, and being in the presence of God so overwhelmed as a child that she knew at some point, I want to help lead people and make them feel just like what I feel right now. In the course of the meeting, there's this common theme that starts to show up. And most of you might not know this, but like, we were doing this thing where on Sunday morning we come in and we practice, and we get here at whatever time we get here, and we practice, we run through these songs, Sid comes in and adds one that nobody's knew that we were going to play, so now we're trying to, you know, transpose that one into the right key for whoever's voice is going to sing it, and we're, you know, and then we stop doing what we're doing so that everybody can finally take a much needed potty break and to get some more coffee, and then we go into the side room, and Sid lays hands on us as pastor and imparts into us, and we take communion together, and then we come out onto the stage, and most everybody is gathered together at their seat. At that point, some standing, some sitting, visitors are making their way in, and we come up and we get on, everybody goes to their individual position, and then we kind of wait. Are we going to do announcements now, or you want to what? No? Start playing. Okay. So we start playing, and then they'll decide if somebody's going to come up. Come to find out, we all hate doing that. There was not a single person in the entire room that said, you know what I really like? Is when we stop doing what we're doing and we do something else. And then we, you know, because what we discovered was there's this thing, there's this moment, and I wish you could be here for it. But there's this moment that happens early in the morning on Sunday morning. sometimes it's during the first song that we're practicing, sometimes the second, sometimes the third, but there's a moment where people just start to worship. And they don't care what their voice sounds like. They don't care. They just, you just close your eyes and you just really begin to use whatever a gift or ability or you know, whatever it is, you just start to use it. And there's this rhythm and there's this flow, and it's very organic because somebody didn't say, "Hey, everybody, let's flow in the Holy Spirit for a minute." You know, it just happened. And we were like, there's something that happens between that moment and that in the potty and then back up to here and then the announcements. Sometimes we find that place again, and sometimes we spend the entire service calling to God, "God, where are you?" It's not that He doesn't show up, but we want that feeling. We want that again. So in the middle of this meeting, this common theme, people start, you know, I don't remember who it was that complained about it first, but whoever it was, then everybody kind of, yeah. And then all of us, we've identified an issue, and then somebody says, "Well, let's don't do it." It was like the light bulb goes off, and we're like, huh? Really? It's that easy? So somebody, I don't know who fell on the sword, but somebody went and talked to Sid. Just like, "I don't care." Huh? I mean, you see what I'm saying? But we've been doing that forever. And there was a season where that was profitable, but we're entering into a season where that's not kind of where we're at. But it takes sitting down in a room with a chalkboard, you know, we didn't really have it, but it takes a diagram and a chalkboard and an hour and a half of free food and drinks for somebody to say, "Well, let's not do it that way anymore." Why? If what you're doing is not working, then stop doing it. If you're not reaching people with the message of Jesus Christ the way you're doing things, guess what? You don't need to change. The seed don't need to change. The field that you've been sent into don't know. Well, I really am a better singer than I am a teacher anyway. So maybe I just need to. Well, that's not true. But we try to fix it so many different ways instead of saying, "Somebody's going to have to cut down these thorns." I guess it's me. I am the world's worst at my house about walking around something in the floor and thinking like, these people just leave stuff everywhere. Like, those underwear from my 15-year-old son have been in the floor with that skid mark for a week and a half. Can somebody not pick that up? And then, you know, finally we'll sit down and have a family meeting about the underwear and the floor. You know what really could have solved the entire 2 weeks? Because it wasn't bothering anybody else. It was bothering me the most, because I'm the one walking around barefooted half the time. I'm the one being bothered by it. You know what I should have done is just got some tongs out of the kitchen and went and picked up the underwear and took it to the dirty clothes and put it in there, and then put the tongs back in the kitchen where they go. That's what should happen. But we don't. We make it so hard. And we make it so complex. And the world's going to hell in the meantime. So what you've got to do is you've got to identify your field. Man, I am so drawn to you. I don't know why. Probably the hair. You. I don't know your name. What's your name? Jalen? Cool name, man. Cool hair, too. I don't know you. I don't know what you're called to do. But I know you weren't put on this planet to breathe oxygen and be in the way of everybody else. I know God has a purpose and God has a plan and God has a destiny for you. It's called a field, and I don't know where your field is or what your field is going to be doing, but I know that if you will resign yourself and turn yourself over to God and let Christ come in and do whatever He wants to do, that you'll wake up one morning and you'll think, "I like this field. This feels right. This is what I was called to do." And it's not that hard. But you know what you're going to have to do when you find that field? You're going to have to pick up a few rocks. and you're going to have to cut down some thorns. And maybe you're in here tonight and you say, dude, listen, man, I don't need to be sharing the kingdom of Jesus with anybody because I'm not even real sure I believe this thing. Perfect. Guess what your field is? It's here. Your heart is your field. You better start picking up some rocks. You got it, Chevy? You got a few thorns in the way? Cut them down. It's that easy. We make this thing so complicated. We make it so hard. Do you know why we make it so hard? Because we go and we look at the shape the world is in, and we say, man, some jacked up people. And it's overwhelming. But I don't need to sell it to everybody. I just need one joker to look at that go-card and say, guarantee you I can make it. You know what I'm saying? When you're selling a house, you know, you're not selling a house to the entire world. You're trying to find one person or one family that will look at that house and say, I feel safe here. Nobody buys a house and said, I'll buy it, but I'll probably get murdered. But, you know, it's haunted, but okay. No, people buy a house because they say, that makes me feel safe. That makes me feel secure. I could see raising my kids here. I could see putting a jungle gym in the backyard. I could see doing donuts on my go-kart when I get it running out back. I could, you know, you picture yourself in that situation and you say, you know what? I'll buy that house. The last time we sold the house, which is an infuriating nightmare, the last time we sold the house, we had person after person after person after person after busted up Saturday, after running home Sunday to get the dirty underwear out of the floor because the realtor called and said, oh my God, this is the one. You know, all this stuff going on. You know who ended up buying the house? Well, I could tell you, but you wouldn't know him. But it was the person that it felt right. His name's Randy. Randy bought the house because it felt right and the price was right. What's your field? Who are you called to reach? You got any music? Who are you called to reach? You just stand up. I don't know who you're called to reach. I don't know your destiny. I wish I did. It would be so cool to look at people and know what they're supposed to do. Because if somebody could have told me years ago, it would have saved me a lot of trouble. And you know, you don't just have one field. I don't want to say, you know, because like as much as I think this is an aspect of my calling, the bulk of my calling a lot of times I feel like is with my kids. I'm supposed to steward young men. I don't think it's built. I'm supposed to, you know, I told somebody a while back, when I stand before God on Judgment Day, I've got all these things in my life that I am so ashamed of and all these mistakes that I've made and some stuff that I still feel like I haven't really worked past even. And I'm so worried about having to answer for all this stuff and God looking at me with judgment. But then sometimes I'll come to myself and I'll realize, you know what I really think is going to happen on Judgment Day? I think God's going to look at me and then He's going to look at my seed. My children, my sphere of influence, my spouse. And He's going to judge me according to the fruit that they yielded. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm sowing seed. And if some seed falls on some rocks, we can't say anymore, that soil, you just can't grow. You can't grow anything in it. That person don't want to hear the kingdom. Now you got to figure out what it is that's keeping them from this, receiving that seed. You got to figure out what's in the way. What's in your way? What's in their way? And you got to do something about it. Because you're the sower. And at the end of the day, the King asked us to. Would you take this message of my kingdom and share it with your neighbor? That's really what He's asking. It's that easy. So every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I don't know where you're at in life. but I know there are only two types of people in here. There's people that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's people that are not. And if you're in here tonight and you would say in your heart of hearts, deep down inside where it counts most, you know what? I'm not perfect. My God, I'm a screw up. But I feel Christ in me. I know He's working on me. I know He's, I love Him. He loves me. We're BFF. Then you need to find your field. You need to find what it is that God put you on this planet to do, and you need to start kicking some rocks. And the other person that's in here is the person that doesn't have Christ in their heart. You might have got saved when you were seven, but you and Jesus know that you ain't exactly walking with Him. And if that's you, you already know what your field is. It's that hard heart. It's that thing inside of you that is separating you from Him. And you need to kick some rocks. So we're going to close in prayer. If you feel the need to pray, if you just want to come down and bend a knee down here, you can do it at your seat, or you can pray where you're at. Whatever it is that you feel like you need to do, what is the King asking from you right now? But as we close in prayer, at least just for a couple of minutes, consider buying a field. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You so much for giving us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be found with a purpose. God, show us what that purpose is. Instill in us, God, a purpose. Show us the rocks in our life and show us the thorns in others that we can be a part of the removal, so that the seed does what the seed was intended to do, and that is turn this world upside down. That is to raise the dead. That is to heal the sick. That is to lay hands on cancer and see cancer fall away. That is to lay hands on the addict and the addiction be broken. That is to sit in a coffee shop and look a coworker across the eye and change their life by instilling in them hope that their marriage can be put back together again. Father, we ask You in Jesus' name to give us divine encounter after divine encounter. Father, we solidify in ourselves tonight that we are not going to let this message that has been spoken about in this place tonight fall on deaf ears. God, so we ask You to remind us of this night by giving us divine encounter after divine encounter the rest of the week. God, when we go to Waffle House, let us not be able to get away from Your presence and the fact that other people in that place need Your presence. God, make us soul winners again. God, give us the heart of an evangelical society. Father, make us soul winners again. People that win souls for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs to pray, the altar's open. And other than that, we're dismissed. Love you. Bye.